Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight is Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
Coming up, Jay is going to be attending the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and he's been doing a fundraiser for Man Camp, Jay. That is still ongoing. You're still trying to reach the $5,000 goal that you want to reach. Can you give our listeners a summary of what Man Camp is all about?
Man Camp is my idea to restore confidence in mankind. I think the best way to do that is by getting young kids the ability to do something really cool, like heat up iron in a forge and bang it into a useful tool or a useful something that they made themselves. Like a six-year-old kids, I've had them make a little coat hook, and I usually have them make a few of them, and they're very happy about it, and they brag about it, and they like it. And older kids can make more complex blacksmithing project, but Man Camp has been basically teaching kids how to blacksmith. What I'm looking to do is raise some money so I can hire some guys that are blacksmiths to help out. And actually, one of them's a girl that would be possibly helping out with this, and to buy some tools, to buy some safety gear, because basically right now I got one anvil and one forge. I'll probably just show up with that and, you know, one kid will be able to do something at a time. But if we can get, close to the goal of $5,000, I can, you know, do a lot of stuff. Plus, I got to make some money at Pork Fest is usually how I pay the property extortion.
Mm-hmm.
The guys from Autonomy Unlimited are going to sell my hamburger this year. So that's cool. That helps out. It gives me some more time. They're going to be cooking up burgers from one of my cows. But yeah, Man Camp is just basically blacksmithing at the campground. We're going to do for, you know, I don't know how long. We'll see. I guess it depends what happens with the money situation.
And if you are going to attend, then you certainly should consider donating. But even if you're not going to attend and you like Jay's vision for Man Camp, you can help him out. Just go to jaynoone.com. That's JAYNOONE.com.
And really my vision for Man Camp is that anyone who has a garage or a little workshop or any kind of tool can teach neighborhood kids, especially kids that like don't have a dad there to teach them. There's a lot of kids everywhere that are being raised by single moms, and they need some good man influence on like how to build things. So, and there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, they have a forge and an anvil, for example. They're like kind of like really like the, you know, blacksmithing type thing. And I encourage those guys, welders, anybody who's got these skills, they just need to start, instead of watching a sports ball game and drinking beer on the weekends, get the neighborhood kids over to your house and get them creating something and learning and building some confidence and learning competence.
Let's go to the phones here. I got Galina on the line. She's calling us all the way from Ukraine. Galina, you started calling us last year during the Russian invasion, just kind of giving us a slice of life, what things are like for you out there. It's been a little while since we've heard from you. What's going on? And good evening or good morning.
Yeah, good evening. Probably good morning soon here. So first of all, thank you for doing the show and supporting people who are confronted by government. I really appreciate your work. And I just wanted to give you an update on my life. I'm moving out of Ukraine soon. So
really?
This is probably the last time I call from Ukraine.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. What's where are you going to? Can you say that?
Yeah. I'm going to Great Britain.
Wow.
I met this awesome, most amazing guy on this website for vegans and vegetarians called Veggie Connection.
Huh.
So if any of your listeners are vegans or vegetarians and looking for love or friends, you can use the website. It's really good.
Wow. So you met a British guy on a vegan vegetarian dating site, and have you actually, did he actually come to Ukraine to meet you, or are you going to go meet him?
No, actually, it's going to be the first time we meet. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck.
And I just met it a few months ago.
So, I mean, is it your hope that this thing works out and you'll be able to never come back to Ukraine?
No, not never come back. I'm going to visit my parents, my family, like, you know, like maybe I'm going to come like in a half a year or in a year just for a visit. But yeah.
But you're expecting, you've hit it off at least online with this guy well enough to where you're ready to move in with him sight unseen?
Yep, I am.
Wow.
Have you, let me ask you this. Have you had any, like, FaceTime, like, video face-to-face?
Yes, we had a lot.
So it's legit. You have some confidence. It's legit.
Not
it's a
scam
artist. Big concern for a lot of people, you know?
Here's what I recommend to anybody. If you're going to be looking to get into a serious relationship, you should really have a conversation with their ex. When I first started dating my wife, I'm like, you should talk to a couple of my ex-girlfriends so they can,
really?
You know, tell you what my flaws are and kind of explain it to you. And she's like, oh, I don't need to do that. I talked to your sister. And but anyways, if you could just interview an ex and, like, you know, if you don't really have anything to hide and you're like a good, you know, honorable dude, there should be no problem.
You should be willing to hand over the contact info.
Here's my last two ex-girlfriends or my ex-girlfriend. Talk to her. She'll tell you about the stuff maybe you can't handle. Let's save some time. That's
an
just
interesting
my
approach.
Suggestion. Another.
I mean,
question.
I can generally do that, but this one.
But I do have a question for the caller.
Yeah, it's Galina.
Galina, if you were a man, would you be able to move away from the Ukraine right now and you know, go to Great Britain or somewhere else?
So actually, many men they do find like a medical reason to leave Ukraine, or like some people who have like I have an acquaintance. He had two kids, and they made a third kid already. And now he can leave Ukraine, because if you have three kids, you can leave Ukraine.
Huh.
And
good
I
incentive
have another
to have
relative.
Another
breed yourself away.
But otherwise, they are keeping men within the borders, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, they do.
Are they being conscripted as well? Are they being forced into military service?
No, actually not really, because it turns out that there are many voluntaries.
Huh.
Still, that really want to go there and want to fight against Russians. So actually, it's not that forceful at the moment. Like, what? In the beginning, everyone was afraid, but it turned out it's not that scary.
Interesting.
I wonder what pushes a guy to volunteer to basically go die for the international banking cartel.
Yeah, some go there for the idea, but some go there for the money, because those who are like on the front line, they are earning like in dollars, $3,000 plus a bonus.
Is that
so
a week,
like
a day,
really
a month?
Really high salary in Ukraine. That's like extremely
month
high.
Salary. You said?
Did you say that's 1 month, $3,000?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, 1 month.
Wow, that's.
Well, they don't value themselves too much then. See, here in America, most of the people who, my special forces buddy tells me that most of the guys he dealt with, and in fact, I believe even him, it was, it was either go to jail or go into the military.
Mm.
And basically he was, you know, saying that a lot of the guys that were in the military that he was training were basically, just a bunch of people who they've sort of had no other choice to
thought.
When
was this?
This would have been about 2001, 2003,
huh.
When this is Silver Dave I'm talking about, actually.
Yeah,
or maybe 2004 when he went into Special Forces. I don't know. He's a few years younger than me. But basically right out of high school, you know, he went into the military Special Forces.
Galina, you had told us on your previous calls that you were living in Kharkiv, which is on the eastern side of Ukraine. It's sort of near to the Donbass region, which is where a lot of the conflict has been allegedly going on. And if I recall your previous calls correctly, you personally have not yet hadn't, at least the last time we talked to you, witnessed any actual conflict going on. You did have a power outage at one time. Internet was down, I think, on another call, or it had been recently. And I'm just wondering, have you actually witnessed any fighting that has, you know, been nearby you?
Not nearby me, not nearby me.
Thank goodness.
Maybe it's just I'm lucky, you know, like it didn't happen like in my city. And actually, I moved to the western part of Ukraine,
okay,
close to where my parents live. Yeah,
probably a good move.
And and for the whole winter, we had these power outages, and they ended only when winter ended. Mm-hmm. Every 4 hours, they were turning light for 4 hours. So it was like half a day you didn't have light.
Wow.
So yeah, that was not very convenient. But now it's all right. And so it's bearable now. And still those parts that are close to Russia, they get much more bombs than we get.
Do you have any friends that are still out that way? Do you know anyone that lives in the Donbass region?
No, Donbass, actually, all people I knew, they moved out of there. Mm-hmm. They moved out of there because it's not possible to live there.
Now, where did they go? Did they go over to Russia or did they go to Ukraine?
And there was one guy, he went to Russia. And, I guess that he's the one guy that I know from Donbass, and other people from Kharkiv. Some stayed in Kharkiv because it's not that bad there. Some moved closer to western part, and no one went to Russia from Kharkiv, as far as I know, from my acquaintances.
Have you been aware of the news that has come out of Ukraine that talk about how the Ukrainian government is taking over control over the internet and restricting what people can say and can't say online, that they're going to be regulating internet websites and things like that? Are you aware of those stories?
Yeah, it's happening all the time since 2014, and now even worse. Like they have blocked all Russian websites, like .ru, you cannot access them. But you can access them with VPN.
Right.
But they are blocking all Russian websites. That's not very good because sometimes, for example, I'm looking for a cook recipe or I'm looking for some advice on some household issue, and I cannot access a Russian website because it's .ru. But I need the information that is there. It's not like a news website.
Is it a criminal act to access a Russian website, or is it just they try to stop people?
Yeah, they try to stop people. It's not a criminal access. Not criminal.
Yet.
But it's going to be a criminal if you're going to publicly support Russia. I think they have made new laws that if you say something that you support Russia and stuff, you're going to get to jail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Straight to jail.
Yeah, this is the so-called freedom that the American people are being propagandized that they're supporting. Not that Russia's any better. I'm pretty sure they will put you in jail if you support Ukraine as well over there. But, these are all bad guys. There's no doubt about it. I'm glad to hear, Galina, that you're getting out of there. How soon are you planning on leaving?
Yeah, it's actually tomorrow night.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
great.
Good luck.
Congratulations.
I hope it works out with the new boyfriend for you, and feel free to give us a call anytime with any other things you want to talk about.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to call from Great Britain. It's probably too expensive there. But next time in Ukraine, I'm going to try to call.
International calling isn't what it used to be. It's not as expensive. We also have a SIP line. If you want to write this down, just go to sip.freetalklive.com. It's spelled SIP. .freetalklive.com.
And what is this?
It's an internet calling method that costs nothing, basically, as long as you have an internet connection.
And I can call direct to you? Like,
yes. Yeah, you call right here into the studio. You just have to take a few minutes to get it set up. And essentially, there's step-by-step instructions there that'll walk you through it. And you can call that from anywhere that you have a semi-decent internet connection.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and that's true for anybody in international, wherever you are. It doesn't matter anywhere in the world. As long as you've got internet, you can call in.
SIP.freetalklive.com?
SIP, like zip. SIP.freetalklive.com. Hey, thanks, Galina, and good luck to you. Appreciate the call tonight.
Safe travels.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. The number here is 603-283-6160. So let's see. We're on the topic here. Let's weigh in on the Russia thing, Joe. It was just within the last 24, 48 hours. There's video that's come out of Moscow where the Kremlin itself, apparently there was a drone that flew over it, allegedly targeting Putin, but it exploded above the roof. So it didn't really hit
whatever its target was.
Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to accomplish with it, and it just it just seems really sus all around.
But sus, like, as in, do you think it was the Russians themselves that sent the drone to make it look like
I don't really want to say it's one way or another, but I just, all I know is, like, it was trying to spark something, right? So either it was Ukraine, United States, which would be the same side, and Russia. Like, we do not need a big major conflict with Russia. And for this to occur, I think it's just silly. It's, you're poking a bear, regardless of if it's the own, the bear itself poking itself. But I doubt it. Like, I mean, there has been instances in the past where false flag attacks and that sort of thing to get things going. I don't think Russia really wants to go to war.
No, I don't think they want a nuclear war. I mean, as much as they talk about nuclear strikes and all that, there's a lot of Western propaganda about it, but no one wants nuclear war. I mean, even the politicians don't want it because they might themselves get caught up in it.
Yeah, the who really wants this, you know, this military action happening is the military-industrial complex, weapons manufacturers.
And they wanted to keep going, and, right? Like, and, nuclear war would end things.
Right. They, you know, like, Luke Radowski's really, like, good and clear about talking about how America is basically just giving Ukraine just enough to maintain a war, but not to actually win it. Because they don't want, they really like perpetual, endless war.
Yep.
War is the lifeblood of the state. Is the bottom line. In our modern state, the way it is, the way the corruption is, the way everything's going, cannot exist without its U.S. dollar being, you know, essentially the global trade unit. And America, you know, indirectly or directly funding or contributing to war, like, you know, this Ukraine thing is exactly how they keep their power, and they keep all of this, you know, money flowing to these, you know, Raytheon and KBR and all these other evil corporations that are just, you know, not good. And they're going around declaring war my entire life. You know, there was no, I was the Iraq war, was there an actual declaration of war against Iraq?
Not.
Right.
No. There hasn't been since World War II.
And that's because basically since World War, since 1913, all war has been about, you know, the fiat dollar system and, you know, and keeping it going and just putting countries in debt. I mean, these bankers have, there's all kinds of writings out there from these international bankers Rockefellers and Rothschilds on how if they don't care who wins the war as long as they control the debt, and they finance both sides of every war, the bankers, and therefore they control the debtors at the end of the war, which both countries, the country that wins and loses, are both in debt to these bankers.
The bankers win.
Yes.
Yeah. But my only suspicion why it would be Russia is because the Russians have technology to basically scramble these drones out of the sky. Using microwaves.
Sort of.
Maybe. But no, definitely, because they do it in Ukraine.
Well, so here's the thing with drones. So that drone could have been delivered, like, right next to that building. Yeah, you know, how big are these drones? Would it fit in the back of a pickup truck?
I don't
know.
It looks large in the video that I saw, but
could you fit it in a 20-foot sea container and then someone opens it up?
You're saying it may not have been flying for a very long distance, is what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. It could have been dropped right there. So you could, like, take these drones. You know, anybody could take a drone, arm it with some kind of, you know, explosive and just smash it in and fly it into something. It's not a big deal. It's pretty easy to do. You know, drones are, you know, you can go buy one for $32 on the internet somewhere.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, the drone could have been released. The one report that I had heard that was on RT was that it was an American-made drone. I don't know how true that is.
Sure.
But, like, that, you know.
Wait, American-made or, like, military-grade made? You know, like, I don't know what.
Well, you never know what the truth is in any of these circumstances.
Right, true,
right?
True,
right?
Fair enough.
There's what the Russians say, there's what the Ukraine side says, there's what the Western media promotes, and then there's the truth is somewhere out there, but
what
I know what it is.
Is whatever Biden is saying, whatever anyone in the White House is saying,
that's probably not true.
Whatever the corporate media is saying is a lie.
Yeah.
And it historically has been my entire life.
Yes.
That's a fact. So we were playing the quick video here from Peter St. Ange, who's going to wrap up his thoughts on the banking crisis as of today.
Even though 2008 was entirely made in America by our insane housing policies, it collapsed the largest bank in Switzerland, the venerable UK Bank Lloyds, founded 1765, and Royal Bank of Scotland, founded 1727, and it collapsed some of the largest banks in Germany, Holland, Belgium, Ireland, Portugal, and Spain. That domino collapse in Europe ultimately led to a sovereign crisis that countries like Greece never fully recovered from. Now, given EU financial stresses are far higher than in 2008, partly for their suicidal environmental and deindustrialization policies, Europe could once again ride America's clown show straight off a cliff. Ernest Hemingway once wrote, "There are two ways to go bankrupt, gradually then suddenly." It is looking like suddenly is getting a whole lot faster. Okay, we'll be watching.
And that's Peter St. Ange. He is at Prof. St. Ange on Twitter. Follows this stuff really closely. He's a really interesting
character. Let's go. Let's collapse. Let's go.
I am actually really excited about this. I believe in the good things coming. So
yeah, you got to go through the you know, rip off the Band-Aid first, though. It's going to hurt. Some people's going to hurt.
I mean,
some business is going to go under.
Yeah, some people are going to suffer from this, but these are people who have been having faith in the U.S. dollar, faith in governments. And the thing is where the opportunity is going to come is anyone who has any savings whatsoever. So if you can stack up your silver, maybe have a little cash on hand, you know, things are going to get really cheap. So all the stuff that people, like, if you want to buy some cool toys, like, this fall, I think you're going to be able to buy all the four-wheelers you want, jet skis, things like that.
When you say they're going to get cheap, I mean, certainly there's going to be some categories that may crash. But on the other hand, there may also be crazy inflation going
on. So necessities, like things that people have to have now and right away, like food.
Eggs.
Is going to get expensive. So this is why if you can, you know, be in a position to be growing your own food or even working with a local farmer. Like if you live in a city or in a suburbs and you are in a condo somewhere and you can't do that, go find a farmer and befriend him and work for him and help him out. Even if you work for him for free for a little while, just to prove that like you're not a waste of his time. And if you have kids, that's one of the things I recommend to like city people and suburbanites who don't like have anywhere for their kids to go like learn skills. Go find, befriend a farmer. Take your kids to a farm, no matter what kind of farm it is. There's city farms, there's farms out in the country. But you and your family could be extremely valuable to a farm. And if you make a relationship with that local farmer so you can eat at a relatively, you know, without getting taken advantage of, or at least eat good.
Get it direct from the source.
Get direct from the source.
Well, what are some of the categories you think are going to come down?
Toys, jet skis, four-wheelers. We're already starting to see, like, a lot of, like, work trucks for sale.
Campers.
The camper lots are chock full. Campers, I think, are going to get pretty inexpensive.
So this is because these places are going to have inventory. People are going to be squashed as far as their money that they have. They don't have a lot of money. And so there's going to be fewer people buying luxury items. And so, therefore, you think the price is going to come down.
Yeah, and in the last 2 years, with all the stimulus and all the stuff, all this stuff got bought like crazy. You're going to see, like, a bunch of used RVs, ATVs, things you don't really need to survive, really cheap. And then we're going to see, I believe, some land's going to be able to be bought pretty cheap and some houses.
Hope so. There's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts as well. The number is 603-283-6160. We'll continue here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Another historic jury decision from the Capitol riot. Attorney General Merrick Garland says the conviction of four Proud Boys members on seditious conspiracy shows the DOJ will do everything in its power to defend democracy.
We have secured the convictions of defendants who fought, punched, tackled, and even tased police officers who were defending the Capitol that day.
Seditious conspiracy is defined as a plot to overthrow the government and is from the Civil War era. And the late Carrie Fisher, remembered in Hollywood Today, the actress who's best known for her role as Princess Leia in the Star Wars films, was posthumously awarded her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame Thursday.
My mom is a double whammy, a Pez dispenser and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Mama, you've made it.
Actress Billie Lord accepted the honor on her mother's behalf. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You know, we talk a lot about the New Hampshire freedom migration, the Free State Project, lots of liberty-loving people coming here to New Hampshire. We mentioned the Porcupine Freedom Festival earlier tonight. And another way to get a feel for what's going on up here is to get in touch with the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate. Mark Warden and the crew over there, they do a great job of cluing you in as to reasons why you want to get up here. In fact, they've got a series of webinars that they've put together that they're doing, and you can sign up to attend for free. Just go to move.freetalklive.com. It takes you to the Porcupine Real Estate website on the exact right page you need to get signed up for these seminars. They've got gun freedom as a topic, medical freedom, political freedom victories, best practices for moving to the free state, and, of course, finding housing, as you would expect from Porcupine Real Estate. They're super helpful webinars. You can actually watch some of the ones they've already done by going to their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. So you can watch previous presentations there. And, again, get signed up for the upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here, too. Your calls and thoughts, Tony in Oklahoma. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I have a question for Jay, or I guess a comment for Jay, that I am very glad that he talks about, you know, bartering with people. I actually found a motorcycle trailer I wanted, and the guy was, you know, kind of out of my price range, and I noticed his house needed painted, and I've painted, you know, basically my whole life, and I got to talking to him and told him I'd paint his house for that trailer, and he went for it, and I, you know, got a trailer. He got what he wanted.
Sweet.
And he put a thing. We have a next door neighbor app that within like 20 miles of where you live, And he posted that on the Nextdoor Neighbor app, and you would not believe what people are doing. We had a person in our neighborhood that had a, this lady wanted a trampoline for her kids, and all she had was eggs. And they traded a trampoline for eggs, and they're trading, like mechanics are trading for stuff that they need. And
wow.
No money's been exchanged. It's actually pretty cool, and I'm glad Jay talked about it, because people in their neighborhoods, like you say, area, need to do this a lot more.
That's cool. Is this the Nextdoor app? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen that app being pretty, like, helpful for people in general. My critique of Nextdoor is it is, of course, a centralized app, and they got crazy during the COVID situation, if I recall correctly. I don't remember all the details about
they
how.
Did.
Well, I've heard some horror stories about the Nextdoor app, yeah. How the neighbors are calling in people for code violations, and you know, it's
sounds like the dark side of it. There.
Yeah, kind of like being in a homeowners association when you don't even have one.
But, exactly. I've heard of people putting up fences, and then they have these apps, and they're like, he didn't get a permit for that app. You know what I mean?
Fence, yeah.
It depends on the kind of community you live in then, right? Like, if you're in a freedom-friendly community, then maybe it'd be actually really
less
helpful.
Likely.
But, yeah, that's great, that barter story. And I'll tell you, probably two-thirds of, the business I do, maybe half, it changes a little bit, but is basically not in fiat.
That's nice.
Yeah, like I said, I've been listening to you guys for about 6 months now, and like every night you're on, Jay, you talk about it, and I don't know. I was like, one day, like I said, the guy had a motorcycle trailer, and I was just like, didn't want, that kind of money, and it was like, that idea just, your idea just hit me in the head, boom, just, best thing that's ever happened.
Look at the added value that gave to both of you guys. Both of you guys are really happy. He's probably more happy that his house got painted than he would have been getting, like, the full asking price for the trailer.
Right.
And you're happy that you didn't have to pay the full asking price for the trailer, mm-hmm. and you were able to trade your skills. And the other thing, too, is let's say that this trailer was a $1,000 trailer, so now you got to go earn, like, $1,500 above board, like if you're in the above board economy, to basically have that $1,000 to give that guy. And now that guy, you give him the $1,000, and now he's got to go pay, like, how much would he have to pay you in, like, a check or, like, above board as a painter to do that job? Like, give someone a big discount if it's, like, you know, cash under the table or a barter versus if they're going to give you a check. I used to work for a roofing company when I was a kid, and I used to do some estimates. And basically, I can remember, telling people, hey, the roof's going to be $25,000 if you're going to want to write a check. But if it's cash, it can be like $17,000. And this was in Massachusetts, and you'd have to charge sales tax on like a lot of the materials. And we don't have to charge the sales tax if it's cash. And you wouldn't believe how many people would just come up with the cash.
I would.
The same thing with my dad. When we'd sell hay, I was in the hay business for a long time. That was one of the things. Well, I got to charge a sales tax and I never charged anyone with sales tax, but if you're going to pay me with a check, and then I just started saying, actually I had this on one of my business cards was, I made a deal with the bank. Oh, no, the bank won't sell hay. I won't accept checks, is what I used to say to him. but that's great. We need to barter. And also, barter leads to fellowship with the people you barter with. One thing I really like about Craigslist versus Facebook is a lot of the people on Craigslist are sort of more of the old school types. They're, like, way easier to deal with. They'll actually pick up the phone when you call them. Facebook, you can't even make a phone call to anybody, basically, with this Facebook marketplace.
Oh, wow.
Is that
item still available?
But I've definitely noticed the Craigslist type guys on Craigslist selling, like, the things I'm interested in, which is, like, agricultural-related stuff and, things like that. I, sort of do cows. I've been buying from some guys on Craigslist. They're just, like, so much easier to deal with. They're more of, like, where I am at, like, in communication and stuff and just, than the Facebook. But, yeah, it makes for fellowship. It makes for a tighter community. And if you're trading with your neighbors, you know who's got what. You know where to go get things. And the thing is if you're, like, trading with local farmers and local people, they're going to be more consistent than, like, the grocery store, for example.
Sure.
They do cost more because if you're going to trade with a guy who's just raising, like, 10 or 15 cows, he's not government subsidized.
Yep.
And you got to understand that, too.
Tony, thanks for sharing that story. Was there anything else you wanted to share with us tonight?
Nope, that was it. I appreciate it.
Very cool. Right. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, and it just goes to show, you know, he had never done that. He said he'd never done that before, but just listening to you talk about it planted the seed in his head, and now all of a sudden...
That's what I'm here for.
There it is.
It needs to be more common, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of, like, you know, trying to fork over U.S. dollars... Start thinking about what you can do for that person.
Let's continue here. We got Anna on the line in Arizona. Anna, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Mine's about Bitcoin. I'm a newbie, a total newbie. I have some in like Cash App and a couple investing sites, but I don't know anything about blockchain. I'm interested in coding, but don't know yet. Is coding necessary to understand blockchain?
Coding? Like programming? No, you don't have to.
I mean, I would just trust reviews of cryptos. Like, so people are reviewing it, and you can trust them. They're professional. They've...
Well, I don't know if I would trust people reviewing
cryptos. Well, not just randomly, but
a lot
like,
of them are getting paid. You don't know if they're shilling.
Right, sure. I guess, like, it's hard to even find, like, an honest review of these things. But what I'm saying is just talk around and ask people, like, which ones they trust more.
Well, I don't think she was even asking about that yet. I mean, Anna...
Well, she said she wanted to just need to learn coding.
She said
that brings up the topic, yeah. You know.
So it sounds to me like you've bought some Bitcoin on some centralized exchanges. You mentioned Cash App. The number one thing you probably want to learn up front is to get your coins off of these exchanges,
yes,
and to get self-custody of these coins and
hold your private keys.
Yes, you want to have your coins within your custody, because if it's on some site where they have control over it, like Cash App, then if Cash App wants to freeze your account, maybe the government tells them to or whatever, then your coins are frozen. They're not really yours. The old saying is not your keys, not your coins. So the first thing you ought to do is look into getting your own Bitcoin wallet, your own cryptocurrency wallet, and there are a myriad of options.
Can you just name a couple for her?
Edge Wallet.
Edge Wallet's very good.
And another one is Exodus Wallet. Those, before I got arrested for selling Bitcoin, those were my two favorites.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been some more that have been invented since then. But those guys have a track record. They've been around for a long time. They're both open source projects. And
save your
use.
You want to save, like, so you're going to own one of these wallets, say like Edge Wallet, and you can have multiple cryptos on your wallet. There's like multiple wallets on the Edge Wallet, right? And so you got to save your code.
You just back up your
wallet. Back up your backup code, basically.
And most good wallets, when you first download the wallet and run it for the first time, They're gonna walk you through the backup process.
Yes,
they're gonna hold your hand. They're gonna smack you if you don't do it. I mean, they've gotten pretty good at this. But yes, you don't want to skip that step.
Never.
Most of them won't even let you skip it. But you definitely want to take it very, very seriously, because the thing is, the difference between self custody and leaving it with Cash App, is that if you don't take it seriously and you don't keep that backup information somewhere secure, and then your phone breaks or your laptop breaks or wherever it is, it's, you know, something, machines break down, right, at some point. If that happens, then you don't have the backup info. Then your next phone that you get, or your next computer that you get, you won't be able to get access to.
I just did a full swap on phones, and it was a little difficult, but it was a grueling process to transfer everything over.
But you had your backup words, right?
I had my backups.
So you're all set.
Yep. Yeah. That's just the way you do it.
So that's the number one, I would say, takeaway. What would you say for newbies?
Well, Anna, how many cryptocurrency transactions have you made so far?
Well, I do it every payday and buying, and then I've just only, like, used it for a couple small tips to content creators.
So that's good. So you've done some.
That's a good approach. Is
right.
What they call dollar cost averaging, where you commit to buying a little bit every paycheck, whatever you can afford to lose, because you never know what's going to happen. But that way, you're always accumulating little bits of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, and you don't worry about the price. You just buy $50 worth or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And are you just using exclusively Bitcoin at this point?
Yeah, well, on another app, I was getting into, like, Ethereum and some other, you know, coins that pop up just for fun. But
and that's
one
good.
Other thing is when I make purchases, there's a percentage also that, like, rounds up to the next dollar amount. So it's just tiny little fractions, but it's pretty good.
What company is doing that? What's doing the roundup?
That's Cash App.
Cash App does that. Okay, cool.
So Cash App, you know, just like Ian said, you got to be careful with the, with these things, because basically having it in Cash App versus holding your own private keys is the difference between having dollars in a bank account and dollars in your safe, you know, locked away in your house. So the exchange or whatever technically holds that Bitcoin and owns it, just like if you have a deposit in a bank, that is actually property of the bank. It's not really your money. And the other thing is, too, is that, that's great that you're using Bitcoin and Ethereum. Both of those two particular cryptocurrencies are sort of expensive to use. They're not really like...
The fees are very high.
They're not really bubblegum money. It's not something you want to, you know, buy for a quarter because your fee might be, you know, actually more than the actual quarter transaction.
Right now, the median Bitcoin fee, according to bitinfocharts.com, is around $4, which means half of transactions are above and half are below that. So that's a high fee.
So what I like about Edge Wallet, for example, now I do have some friends that are very much more into all of the things about crypto and blockchain, like a computer programmer guy. They're like, oh, Edge isn't the best wallet. This one's the best wallet. But it's like a wallet, like you need to be an engineer to use the wallet.
Yeah.
Those kind of wallets are tough. But what's cool about Edge is it's got some built-in stuff like just a password. For Edge, what I want to encourage people to do is use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and Dash. What I like about Bitcoin...
You can give them an arrow in Edge, too.
Yep, I was going to say that, too. Privacy what I like coin. About Bitcoin Cash and Dash is they're both like bubblegum money. Or you can spend them like bubblegum. So, like, the Dash transaction fees and Bitcoin Cash transaction fees are very, very reasonable. They're very low. They're, like, less than a penny, I believe. And Dash has always worked really well. So you can download those. And then you can use, like, a privacy wallet, which is Monero. I think everybody should have definitely some Monero. And
my favorite.
And the reason I like to have... like Bitcoin Cash, Dash, Monero, Ethereum, those are very popular. And so, like, when I'm vending places, I'll have all those QR codes set up, mm-hmm. and they're ready to go, and they're easy. And when it comes to usually I'm going to pay someone in crypto, I give them generally whatever crypto they ask for. Unless, like, Bitcoin transactions are going to be extremely high or something, we'll usually, sure. you know, use Dash or something. But that's great. Practice it. And I also... for a time, I haven't lately, but for a time when I was working on building up my cryptocurrencies, I was given a pretty good discount. And actually, I wasn't even really given a discount. I was just charging more for cash, which turned into like a discount. So I'd be like, oh, it's $100 to plow your driveway if you pay me in, you know, in cash, but it's, you know, $75 if you paid me in a cryptocurrency or if you paid me in silver. And a lot of people would be like, oh, what's cryptocurrency? And they would look
start
into it.
Start the conversation. Anna, any specific questions we can help you with here? That's a lot to take in.
Well, I took some notes. I appreciate it. I've been asking people this question, you know, here and there, and you have just cleared so much and lifted, like, the weight of overwhelm off of me. I really appreciate it.
All right, good.
If I were to suggest something, try searching for local crypto groups. You might be able to meet up with people. You might go to a restaurant that takes it or something like that.
Probably not, but it could happen.
There's a lot of them around here.
But, yeah, that's a good idea to see if there's a local group. I know a lot of them are on meetup.com, for instance.
Do you go to a farmer's market by any chance?
Oh, yeah, there's one by me.
Try it there.
I was in Oro Valley, and I went to the Oro Valley farmer's market there, and there was actually one vendor accepting cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. Accepting Bitcoin.
Did you ask them all?
Oh, I asked everybody, okay. And there was one. And as I'm asking people, they're like, oh, her over there, what they
knew.
You know, she does the
that's
Bitcoin.
Cool.
Oh, she'll pay us in dollars if you want to give her your Bitcoin, another guy said, because, you know, she's done that. But Goldback was definitely the most popular thing.
Yes.
That,
yeah.
You know, when it comes to the farmer's market.
Nothing hits in real life like the Goldback.
Yep.
I mean, people just, they can't deny that it's an amazing thing.
Actually, I use Goldbacks every time I go to the farmer's market.
Yeah. People are going to take it. Hey, Anna, feel free to call anytime with that, with any other follow-up questions. We're always happy to help newbies. And again, I would say step one is get a local wallet, get one that you control, get that thing backed up, and then figure out how to move those coins from those centralized services to your own wallet.
Thank you guys
for the
much.
Thank you, Anna. I appreciate hearing from you. All right. Jay, you got 16 of them. I don't know if we're going to get through all 16, but I want to start it. So let's get into the reasons why. And this is this a reason list that you came up with, or who came up with this?
So actually, this is part of my Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Device Junkies slideshow I've put together. And this is one of the articles I referenced in the slideshow.
Okay.
So the idea is that we want to have kids that are competent by the time that they're, you know, of reproductive age. We don't, as parents, need to take care of them anymore, and they can take care of themselves.
It's 16 reasons why every kid should have a horse. You said this could apply to other farm animals, for instance.
Yep. So this is an internet article.
Is it in an order, or is it like just 16 reasons? Like, is reason one
no.
a better reason than 16?
No.
Or okay.
And actually, some of them in this article I don't really 100% agree with.
All right.
And the reason I picked this article is because I grew up in the horse industry. My dad was a horse trader. I was at horse auctions. I did all the equine sports. I rode the hunters and jumpers. I team roped. I calf roped. I trail roped.
All right,
I did
you got the cred.
All this
you got
stuff.
The cred. Let's jump in.
So,
we start at 1 or 16?
All start at 1.
Okay.
And I'll just kind of go through him here and give a little, I'll read a little bit of what they got to say about it because they do muck it up pretty good here. 1, horses teach responsibility. Whether you're mucking stalls or caring for your horse in your own backyard or keeping track of his needs, farrier visits, warming, shot, at the boarding barn, there's no denying horses have a requiring of diligence right from the start. 2, riding horses is a sport. So there's all kinds of sports involved in horses. One thing that's cool about horses, you can just like go out in your backyard and ride them, mm-hmm. or you can go compete. And there's all kinds of levels you can compete. There's horse shows where it costs $2 to go into a class. There's competitive rated shows where it costs $10,000.
I was going to say, I've always heard horses are an expensive hobby.
They are definitely expensive, but there's all kinds of ways to get around that.
Okay.
But, horses are a sport. Too many kids are wasting away in front of televisions, computers, smartphones, and tablets. Riding gets kids out of the house and keeps them physically active. Horses help you make friends. This is extremely true. I have good friends that I've had for decades now, essentially from my horse career. As most grown-up riders will tell you, barn friends are usually forever kind. 20 years on, you'll still be recounting stories of your long last pony days together. And that's because, 4, riding memories are the kind you'll never forget. And that's absolutely true. Like I said, I've been to horse auctions, been to all kinds of trail rides, rodeos, made a lot of friends, learned a lot of things.
It's a natural thing to humans to ride a horse. I feel like a horse was brought here for us to ride.
Well, the horses and humans have been working together since they've existed together on this planet. Another thing that is sort of true is on 5 here. Horses put off the whole boys thing.
What's that mean?
The whole boys thing. So most people who are into horses are girls. Like 90% of the horse community, especially like the equestrian rider type, mm-hmm. are girls. In fact, at the horse shows, me and my brothers, I had 3 brothers on my dad's side, and all 4 of us horse showed. We were the only boys usually in a saddle riding horses.
It's a good thing if you want to meet some ladies, right?
Possibly, yeah. But here is 5.
Of course, whether they're interested in you is another question.
Horses put off the whole boys thing. This is kind of true. So you'll see like a lot of teenage girls, and the horse stable that I grew up on, there was, a couple hundred, young girls came through there, while I was there. And a lot of them were sort of more interested in the horse than the boys. The horse kind of had their attention. The horse was doing it for them. Mm-hmm. And so generally a lot of times these girls at 13, 14 years old, when they have a horse to take care of, the boy's sort of like an afterthought most of the time. And generally when the boy starts hanging around, it has to be a boy that can keep up with that horse girl. Mm. Horse girls are usually pretty tough and independent and sort of difficult to deal with, actually.
So they wouldn't be as needy of the attention of a human male.
Right, right. So the idea is that it's going to put boys off. And these guys, they say, hear that, dads? Girls won't need boys. They have warm bloods. Mm. A warm blood is basically like the sports car of horses.
Okay.
Trust us on this one. Boys aren't going to begin to register until they're well into college. Well, it definitely helps the girls like weed out who's like a real man and not, for sure, because a lot of the men that are involved in the horse business, you know, kind of have to be manly men. Ride is one of my favorite ones. Riding requires a strong work ethic. Young riders quickly realize that while they may spend 30 or 40 minutes a day in the saddle, they'll spend at least double that time tacking up, grooming, and caring for their horses. The takeaway, hard work to do what you love. So this is one thing I talk about is the earned dopamine hit for kids. Riding requires a lot of work ethic. Yes, it is true. Now, there are some kids that are spoiled, rotten, rich to where they show up.
They got
up,
a person who does all
they
the
show up, the horse is tacked and ready to go, and they get on the horse and they ride, and then they hand that horse back off to the groom.
You're not going to have the same relationship with the animal, though, that way.
Right? Not exactly. Yeah. Although, if you are that kind of rider, which I've met a few of those girls, they are riding that horse, you know, an hour or two, multiple times a week in lessons. They might be in a training program, you know. And usually those kids have like a $50,000-$60,000 horse too, you know, or and somebody's horse will sell for $100,000, no problem. People will buy. I've actually seen ponies sell for like $150,000 for like somebody's 7-year-old kid. Now the people did have a chain of, you know, jewelry stores that bought that pony.
Okay.
But, so the thing is too, work ethic is a lot more than just to riding the horse. Like, getting the kid, like, not, you don't even have to own the horse to get all these benefits. You could literally get your kid into a, like, a horseback riding program at some stable somewhere. But, like, there's a lot more things, like, for example, when a load of hay comes and there's, you know, 25 tons of bales that need to be stacked by hand in a loft in August when it's hot and humid, that's work you have to do. And these young horse girls, they do it. They work hard. In fact, this is what makes me think, you know, girls are tougher than boys, especially the younger ones.
What number are we on?
Number 7 is the next one.
Let's get to 8 here if we can.
Okay, horse shows teach you to win and lose. I agree with this because at the horse shows, now the
you mean lead line, everybody doesn't get a first place ribbon?
So some places at like the lead line show where it's little kids, everybody gets a blue ribbon. But when it comes to any kind of other thing, it's just, you know,
only
you get
one winner.
Second place, third place, whatever. With horses, you always have a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's winning because every horse is a friend.
Right, and I'd like to talk more about this when we come back.
Pause this. Hold this list. We'll continue it next week when you're back with us. We're back tomorrow night. We'll see you online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.